Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my coverage from Venice Immersive 2025, today's episode is with Mimnocene. So this is a part of the Biennale College Cinema Immersive, and it's a combination of a virtual reality piece that has CGI components, it has VR 360 video components, but also like these installation theatrical components that have some performative aspects as well. And so this is a piece that is a little bit poetic in a sense that it's hard to describe in terms of what the content is. I think the themes that are being explored are these different kind of Taoist and Zen-like qualities. In their description, they say, inspired by Tang Jinzhu Ming's dynasty classic, The Peony Pavilion, the piece draws on Eastern philosophy to evoke the notion of the ultimate, the Qing emotion. So it's basically looking at these different spatial representations and creating this sense of presence and emotion, what's truth, what's reality. So the different contextual domains that are being explored, it's connecting to the earth and nature, but also these Eastern religions from Taoism to Buddhist thoughts, but also focusing and reflecting upon your own embodied experience within the context of this piece. And so the main center of gravity is the earth element in terms of this sense of environmental presence that they're combining all these different aspects of virtual reality piece with the 360 video, but also they have more CGI-based VR animation. But there's also a whole like immersive theatrical installation that feels like you're in a bit of a tea room, but with some meditation booths that you are going in and you're sitting down and then you put on the VR headset and then there's these different mixed reality components at the end where there's these different spatial modulations. The space is moving throughout the course of this piece and that you are seeing this character come out and interact with the space a little bit. And so you have this encounter with this world and then you, at the end, have this encounter with this actor who's doing these different things to change the world that's around you as you have gone in there into the installation, gone into VR, and then come back out with this onboarding and offboarding through this kind of mixed reality components of the piece. So it's kind of blending all these different contexts together. So the second center of gravity, I'd say, is more the air element in terms of these philosophical ideas and these concepts. And so a lot of the center of gravity are on this kind of like Taoist and Zen influences. They have some quotes from poetry as well. And so there's, you know, very explicitly being cited these texts, but they're hard to parse in terms of like the meaning for, you know, what the overall picture is. And they're also kind of like philosophically dense. And so there's lots of deep thoughts and thinking that are involved in this. So it feels like a little bit of like a Zen koan experience where you're trying to understand the paradox and the mystery of what you're actually experiencing within the piece. So it's a bit of a mysterious, and even the creator had difficulty over the whole course of the piece of clearly articulating what this piece is or what it would be. I think there's a bit of relying upon the actual spatial juxtaposition of the piece of art to be able to communicate a final say of what the piece is actually about. So you kind of have to experience it to kind of fully get the full context of everything all together. So the third center of gravity, I'd say, is more the water element, more of the sense of time, the spaciousness, and that you're kind of having these montages of these different scenes and poetic reflections, a lot of from the cinematic tradition of feeling like you're kind of going into this 360 video and being transported into these different scenes of nature. And there's a bit of the pre-recorded aspects of the Chronos and then the Kairos of the liveness of the live that's emerging as well. And then the final thing is that there is the fire element of some live performative aspects in terms of an actor that comes out at the end that does these various actions that are also symbolically tying into the overall themes of the piece. So in terms of the archetypal themes and the character, I'd say that there's themes of like truth versus illusion. And so they say, quote, there's a poetic exploration of love, illusion, and awakening. And also to have this extended quote from their description, it says, quote, it offers a sensory framework where gazes, pauses, and subtle gestures shape the unfolding rhythm. With a layered dreamscape of animation, live action, and performance, the audience becomes not just an observer, but a co-creator of emotional experience. Drawing from the Taoist idea of breaking illusion to perceive truth, the work uses VR as a poetic medium, an ephemeral vessel to navigate between illusion and reality, dream and awakening, until the line between the two gently dissolves. So I think there's a lot of just trying to blend and blur the physical reality with the virtual space and then kind of these subtle modulations. And also, yeah, just throughout the course of the piece, this dialectic between the truth and illusion. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Weir, as well as some associated translators and other people that are coming in and out of this experience, happened on Sunday, August 31st, 2025 at Venice Immersive in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
My name is Vur, and I'm a theater director. This is in my first VR project, Mimesy, and in the Biennale College Cinema Immersive. Yep.
And I'm Mei Chen, and for this project, I'm 3D artist, also doing stage coordinator for the project.
Great. Maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into this space.
Wow, I need to speak Chinese more. It's okay?
Yeah.
我叫瓦尔，然后我是一名戏剧导演，也是一名影视导演，然后也是一名制作人，然后这是我做的第一个项目，Mimesy，里边运用了一些剧场的技巧。然后还有一些我对于沉浸式叙事和影像的一些实践的认知。
So what he says, he's a theater director and also producer. He used some of the theater technical to do this project, and plus some immersive theater to make the entire project more immersive.
Great. And a little bit more about your background and your journey into this space.
So I just recently graduated from UCLA Design Media Arts. So the technical director found me to join this project. And I also hoping to become a VR director in the future. So that's part of my process to my goal.
And maybe you could talk about your experience of taking this project to the College Biennale and developing it there.
I'm the theater director. So the first time we do I need to speak Chinese.
That's fine. Yeah.
在我们第一次在做 Mimesy 的时候，它其实是一个戏剧的项目。之后我把这个戏剧的项目改成了 VR 的项目，然后投到了 Biennale College Cinema Immersive。没想到他们对这个东西很感兴趣，然后我就去到了学院进行了学习。然后导师也给予了我很多的灵感和帮助，去让我把这个戏剧的项目变成一个 VR 的项目。我觉得我很幸运的是，我用到了一些戏剧的技巧，因为我学习的是布莱希特式的戏剧方法，它的打破第四堵墙正好能与我现在做的这个项目，并且能用 VR 这个形式更好的去表达出来，所以我觉得就第一是很有缘分，第二是一切进行的都是在意料之外。
So this project was originally a theater project, but he decided to bring this project to the Biennale. Yes. And then it turns out they are really interested in the project. And what his product is Brightheads way to express his. 我觉得还是请他来好了。
So he's a bit nervous. So Marco, come here. She's very nervous.
So yeah. What's the question?
The question is why I come to the Biennale College.Yeah, this is, you know, the Mimesy we do in Bologna. We first have the theater version, and with the first show in Bologna, Parco.
This is Mimesy is not just a simple performance or simple VR experience. This is an entire evolution of a concept, starting for theater performance and landing to be multiple VR experience.And I follow him for 2 years. I've been in Bologna when he comes with this project. At the beginning, he involved this theater called Factory Bo, his professor and students, to make leave this performance in the center of a garden. And from there, we developed the project till the second part is become a short movie. And after being a short movie, recorded in a part in under the portici of Bologna and the other part between the temples in Kyoto, after is landing on this new vision. So enjoy the Biennale College for be helped to fix all the things together. So how to find organic connection between the performance, the story, and the technology. I think this is the process he follows. But the funny things, all the people, all the tutors Eva have worked with him during the Biennale College have no clue, no idea what he's trying to do, what he's trying to... Because also the explanation was for him very tough, and his idea changing all the time. So also...
Every day, and he changed, you know, in the San Severo, the BCC. And I'm very confused. I don't know how to do. And I confused every day. I think every day I need to write a lot of story, a picture. I need to change. Also, I say, maybe this day is the ceremony, ceremony's class. As they say, he told me something, and I need to change my idea. And next day...
Another idea, he changed every day. So in the end, all the people thought he really don't know what he want to do. And also Michel said, when he comes and visit the installation, he said, okay, now after I experienced that, I know what you have tried to do, and this is great. So that at the beginning was so confused, but now is totally clear, and the message is very strong for the large part of the audience who enjoy the opera.
Yes. Michel sent me the email. Yeah, Michel sent me the email. He say, I totally don't understand what you want to show, what you trying to say. And if you don't make this clear, you don't come into the Venice immersive. Yeah, so this is very political way, so I can't to explain, use the word, you need to experience this so you can understand what I really want to the audience immersive, yes. Yes.
And maybe have you just introduce yourself as well as you were coming in? And
My name is Marco, and I'm working with VR from 2 years, I think. And I'm here as an Italian crew coordinator and press officer of VR, then also spiritual advisor of VR some time to time.
And helping to document the whole process making a documentary?
We are filming for a document all this experience and have something to show to other festivals and other things, how to show how the people felt inside the installation.
Great. And maybe you could introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Yi Chen. I work for Madame Sin as the technical director, and I have a technical team based in Los Angeles. So our team mainly is responsible for delivering the whole VR production, as well as all the asset implementation and designs. Yes.
And so just to pick up from, when I was going to go, actually had a ticket to see Minima Scene, and I was on my way there, and Michelle had just come out and said, you have to go see this. It's amazing. And so, but it sounds like when did Michelle send you that email? Was that after the College Biennale and before you came to Venice? Or
it's last month. He sent me an email. I'm shocked. I said, oh my God, I'm dead. Yeah. And I write a lot of things. She helped me to read a lot of things. So this is no. Now it's clear. Michelle say, okay, it's enough. It's good. And 就是我们在第二天来的时候，他看了之后，他才明白这个东西到底在表达什么东西，所以到那个时候他才知道。 就是才知道我在学院里讲的是什么，我想展现的是什么东西。
So after Michel came and experienced our work, he was able to understand what War wanted to express during the college as well as after the whole production process, because it was kind of hard to express the experience without actually experiencing it. So that's why Michel actually gave us a great comments, and also he had a great time in there during the experience.
Yeah, and so it seems like you're blending in a lot of theatrical elements into the piece, where there's a VR portion and then actors. And so now that you've done this piece, maybe you could describe a little bit about what were you trying to achieve with the feeling?
I think the very important is the fourth wall with the audience. So I want to use a different way, like animation, like 118 video. I use the way to build a wall, another wall. And when you take off the handset, you will break the fourth wall, the real fourth wall. This is what I really want to show to the audience. I think the audience take off the handset, they were, wow. Okay, now I immerse it. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah,
I really, really appreciated how between different moments, because you're wearing a VR headset, but there's these mixed reality components where you can see the physical installation that you have, and that when you go into VR and you come back out, then the installation has changed in some way. And so there's a way that as the experience progresses, then you're constantly perverting my expectations as to what to see or what to expect. And so maybe you could talk around that change and evolution that you were going for.
Yeah. I want to use VR, use the handset to break the real and the virtual. I think this is a very...
So we want to try something medium specific. We want to experience, like, what if the characters is in live action in our headset during VR, but you can also see through her real performance during the MR. And after you take off the headset, you will fall into an illusion of whether which world or which layer of the world am I in right now. Yeah.
Okay, and maybe you could describe the set that you've created, because you have, like, bamboo stage and then pillows with little foldable walls. But yeah, just maybe describe the scene.
我们的装置就是按照那个说的，就是它其实是仿制了一个中式的冥想的这样的一个茶室的这样的东西，能让人更安静的在里面，包括我们会点香，从视觉方面，然后从整个的嗅觉方面都会让人沉浸，而且我们运用了 3D 的那个 animation， 还包括用了 2D 的 animation， 包括也用了180度的那个拍摄，所以它是整个是整个所有东西融合在一起的一个沉浸式的东西，你可以这样跟他解释一下。
So for the set design, we take inspiration from a Chinese tea room, which is usually a place for meditation. And we also light up the incense and make sure the lighting and the atmosphere is right for people to meditate and go into the atmosphere. And after they put on the headset, they will go into VR, which they will experience like 360-degree animation, and they will go into 180-degree live action. But these scenes like travel through spaces, and then after all the VR things, they will be bring back into the tea room and we meditate again and see if this ends at dreams or illusion. So this is the kind of experience we want to create through the space design.
Nice. And so, yeah, the blending and blurring of realities and what's truth, what's reality, a lot of the themes there. But there's also a lot of either poetic elements or what felt to me like either the Tao Te Ching, Taoism, or Chinese philosophy. Just curious to hear a little bit about the philosophical inspirations that you were drawing from.
其实道家有一个箴言叫做破幻见真，你只有打破了那一层的幻境，才能看到一个真正的这个东西。还有在佛家的理论，禅宗的理论呢里边也有 一个最经典的那个语言叫做凡有所向皆是虚妄，就是你所看到的那些表面的这些我们能看到的现象其实都是一片虚妄。所以我也是借由 VR 这样的一个介质来去讲这两个这个东方的这个哲学的理论。
Okay, so we actually have two philosophy from two different religions in China. One is Taoism, which we take inspiration from that. There's a saying goes, if you break the illusion, you'll be able to see the core of the truth. And that is the kind of experience you want the audience to go through and break the truth and see or believe in what they see in the end. And another philosophy we take inspiration from is from Buddhism, which is all the things you see or all the phenomena are built up. They're like illusions, they're like surrounding you. So this is actually matching the feeling that this medium is giving us, because VR, you're living in this virtual world, but are you actually living in this, or are we all living in a simulation? So we kind of want to explore whether there is a boundary and how to break that boundary between the reality and truth.
Yeah, maybe you could describe a little bit about the live action and the animation and how you were using that to tell your story.
其实我们就先说180度实拍，我们在中国的很多的名山还有名庙，老的庙我们都有一些进行拍摄，包括我们也在日本也进京都的郊区，我们也进行了拍摄，把这个最古老的景，因为我相信那个古老的那个环境，没有任何污染的环境，就能给人带来一些沉浸式的感受，所以我用180度的这个影像给它拍摄了出来。可以先说这个。
So first, for the 180 live action footage, they're filmed in China and Japan. And in China, we found some mountains and temples that we believe their atmosphere is matching the core, that we want to go for the most natural experience, that there is no artificial or virtual things, but all the atmosphere are built for meditation and go into the kind of quiet peace. And in Kyoto, we also found some mountains and temples, and we want to test that, like if these Eastern culture affected places can bring us different feelings to the live action footages.
我在想怎么样把那种很老的那个感觉去给观众去展示出来。当然在我们360度的动画里面，我们也用到了很久之前中国，那是宋时期的水傀儡戏，就是说它是其实是在水面上的这个木偶戏，我们把它放到了 VR 里面，我相信这是没有人做过的。然后包括我们的现场表演，它其实是对我们 VR 里面的一种呼应，一种呼应，更像是我刚刚说了，就是给你建造一堵墙，然后再给你建造一堵墙，让你去质疑，让你去思考，对，就是这样。
And secondly, for the animation we used in VR, we kind of want to take some medium inspiration from very ancient art forms. So for example, there's a scene that is like a puppet show on the water. We took that from the ancient art forms, and people used to use that as a way of celebration or like festival. And we kind of want to use that medium and bring the kind of feels for the ancient China and also bring them to experience the core of the culture.And inside the live performance, which we also take that as a very important art form in our work, we kind of want to use the body language of the actors and how to evoke the audience and their emotions while they are navigating through the truth and the dream. Yes.
Yeah, and you have quite a number of theatrical elements in the piece, everything from like the smells that are coming in,with the incense, but also the gong and sounds that are coming from the room, but also a series of actors that are coming in. And so just curious to hear a bit of the integration of other theatrical elements that are playing with the virtual reality of going back and forth between those. So yeah, just if you can elaborate on all the other things that you're trying to bring into the overall experience.
Mm-hmm.
他说刚刚说什么也后边说什么我刚
除了铃声就比如说有一些别的戏剧性的元素他想要知道所有你这些设计是怎么带进来就比如说铃声比如说我们这个燃香它都是一种增加氛围的就是你如何让它变得沉浸
哦，我认为让观众能让观众沉浸的话其实从最开始有可能从一个预告片或者说从某一个细节的点它一下就沉浸进去了所以我们要做的是怎么样把这个我们创造这个环境把观众完全的给包裹住从各个细节方面让他他的意识能够静下来能够沉浸下来所以我们所做的这一切都是在考虑观众的眼鼻子嘴听或者说触感他的五个他的所有的感官去服务的我们最主要的是服务观众就是又能有服务观众的这样的一个理念的话我觉得沉浸感其实是好做的
So our consideration about immersion is basically from sensory experience because we want to use different senses to make sure that every detail reaches the immersion and brings them to the peace and the state of meditation because if the audience cannot calm down then they might not be able to reach the core part of our story and the story that we want to tell them and so we use the incense we use the sound of the bell and we also make sure that every single detail including the trailer or including the part or the service that the audience come into the room and we make sure that every service is kind of intimate and wrapping them around to make sure they feel safe in the space and also feel the kind of intimacy as well as the sense of being able to feel peaceful inside. Yeah, that is the source of the immersion.
Yeah, and your artist statement video that you submitted for Venice is very poetic in a way that kind of reflects the spirit of the piece that is very abstract but also having someone draw a lot of calligraphy and kind of almost overwhelmed with the images and collapsing but maybe just describe what you were trying to communicate in the introduction to the piece through the trailer
这其实是在预告片它是问是预告片里边什么意思啊预告片里面其实是我们在京都的奈良 Kyoto 那儿了在设置的一个短片那么在这个短片中其实讲述的主要是柳梦梅她自己内心对于情欲的那种想要去抓取想要去寻找的这样的一种情绪所以我用了画像与文字更加的去外化她的那种情绪其实我也用了包括你可以看到她在研磨其实是我对于性的一种我对于性的一种含蓄的表达就她在研磨他在你可以看到一个拿了一个墨在研然后一个毛笔下来然后一蘸完之后有一滴所以我在用这个去表达东方的比较含蓄的对于性的这种感知
Okay, so for the trailer, it was shot in Kyoto. We found the actor as Liu Mengmei, who is the male character in our story. And we want to use his body language as well as the movement of using the calligraphy or like the little droplet of ink that dropped from the calligraphy to express the hidden idea of the sexual desire because this is also one of the philosophy that I want to express through the story. It is like...We want to express this idea in the way that matches our culture because it should be like very intimate, but it should also be very unspoken because the two characters cannot meet or cannot be in love with each other in real life because of many things. And we want to express that their love becomes so deep and so transcending the life and death because of all the cultural bends around them as well as the environment that...like shapes the kind of relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, and because you have a lot of connection to these Buddhist and Taoist ideas and truth and illusion, just curious if you can maybe elaborate around your own journey and experiences with Taoism and Buddhism and like a spark or catalyst that made you want to explore this further in this work.
和宗教的一种关系以及就是什么点让你想要做这个作品
最初开始做这个点就是因为道的思想破幻才能见真所以我用了 VR 的这样的一个形式 我认为 VR 在之后会成为一个精神攻击和意识形态植入的一个特别重要的一个工具。那么我相信这样的破幻见真实的，包括一切所向皆是虚妄的这些东方的这些理论，应该可以让未来的人在 VR 技术特别科普的时候能让他们清醒一下。所以我认为对，就是这样。
So his inspiration is mainly from Taoism, that he believes there's a thing inside the breaking illusion that really matches with the medium of the VR. Because when technology is exploding, we also want to make sure that the emotions we feel through technology is real and is authentic. So we want to bring that experience back through our piece, and we want to express that.So maybe there's a core part of it that should be kept in people's heart, and that is the start point of this creation.
Yeah, it's interesting to have this conversation because I feel like I really felt a lot of that through the experience, but still maybe in a similar way that you were having trouble describing your experience to Michelle or him trying to understand what it was about, I had trouble putting a story to what it was.It was more of a feeling that I had afterwards. And so it's very helpful to hear around the intent of trying to cultivate this, what I describe as like this moment of awe or wonder or perverting my expectations for how things have shifted in the room and almost like a magic trick of being blinded and then things changed within the environment. And so, yeah, I feel like I kind of had that feeling.But still was hard to pin down as to exactly what it was.
他说他觉得他和 Michelle 有就是难理解的原因也是因为那更多的是一种感受，然后你在表述他的时候可能没有那么清晰，但当他们体验过之后就会觉得这种感受越来越清晰了。他其实也想听一听你对于这种感受的塑造是怎么想的。
这就是我在整个作品中运用到的我的一个叙事的一个技巧，就是感知叙事，怎么样运用每个人的他的潜意识，他的关注点，来去在我所营造的空间当中形成不同的情绪，形成不同的故事。也有一句话叫什么了，就相当于看一面镜子，我忘了那句话叫什么来了，就好像是看一面镜子一样，就好像是你在看水面，你在看到你的那种感觉。所以这个作品它其实我们用到了很多自然的元素，水风雨都是让你放松的沉浸到自己的意识里面来去关照你自己的情绪是什么。
So actually this isThe kind of experience you and Michelle have is actually kind of expected or designed in our experience because we don't want to give them an answer to the story. We want them to experience and then form their perception during the story and then form their own understanding about the story. So this is the intention, and also we bring in a lot of elements from the nature like the wind, the sound of the bell, and the sound of the bird chirps because we all want them to immerse and maybe focus on their own thoughts and their own voices in their mind. That is the most important thing we want every audience to get out from our experience.
Yeah, and just from my understanding of Taoism, there's also a lot of emphasis on change and how things are never the same, but they're also trying to, in a Western culture, a lot of philosophy is around static objects that are not changing, but yet I feel like the nature of reality is that it is constantly changing. And so, yeah, just curious to hear any reflections on the dynamic, unfolding, changing processes and howThat was also a part of what you were trying to communicate in the piece.
他说西方的哲学很多都是围绕一个静止的物件去做的，但是他认为你在里面用了很多动态的，一直变换。他很好奇，就是说你变换它，你希望它，就是这个理论是怎么样的？对对。
Okay.就是因为我相信这个世界是无常的，也就是说这个世界是一直运动着的。它不是处于一个静止的状态，所有的事情所有的东西都在它的整个的发展的这个过程当中。 当我们的一个目光，当我们的意识如果停留在某一点的话，那么我们就会陷入到像一个矩阵一样，或者说像一个空间一样。就是你的意识如果是一条线的话，那么你就是你如果停住了，你就进入了这样的一个空间。但是空间是在不断的增长。所以我认为在创作这个沉浸式的时候，我们要做的其实就是说要把观众的眼睛放在哪儿，可以把它放在空间里，也可以把它放在空间外边，也可以把它像一条线一样扔去，它可以是一个上帝的视角。这个就是我们，但是核心的一点就是我觉得人生是无常的，万物也是无常的。对。
So his philosophy was like everyone has the life and life is ever changing, and we imagine that they are all can be concluded into a timeline within one personal experience, because it can be growing from one dot, and if you expand this dot it will be a line, but every part, if your perception stops or your focus starts to shift from one thing to another, you form a space, and the space is constantly layering and exploding and forming your own experience or own theory. So you want to bring that kind of from dot to line to the space, to bring that dimension back to our VR experience and make sure every audience can experience the way they form their thoughts or their own theory as, and also perceive as they emerge. Yeah,
and it also seems that the use of nature as metaphors for a lot of these ideas that you can use in the piece, and people kind of have their own relationship to nature. So yeah, just curious to hear your use of nature as a way of communicating some of these ideas.
就是自然在其中的用处，因为他感觉你确实用了很多自然元素，他比较好奇你对于自然的就是这样一个设计的用意。
我认为人离不开自然，人离不开水，人离不开万物的各种元素。虽然有人说我们生活在这样的一个虚拟的里面，但是，如果是个人的话，可能大家都会对一种能让自己美好的东西，或者说，的东西。真的东西，所谓真的东西，自己内心真的东西，可能都是会有向往的。但是如果说我为什么用很多自然的话呢，我只能说我是让人放心的，是让人安心的，平静的。
So we think that people are naturally having a bond with the nature, and that bond creates the kind of peace we can live in it. And this is also something that is missing or lacking in the virtual reality or virtual worlds in general, because we cannot touch the grass, we cannot experience the nature by our senses. So we really want to make sure that people can be evoked like the natural feeling that they are living with the earth and they're living with the land and they're experiencing their own story on this land. This is the kind of truth or the core we are searching for.
打个比方，就是你看大家伙儿全部都在忙着，反正都跑中庭来了，就是大家也需要新鲜的空气嘛，也需要水，也需要喝水。我觉得这是一个本能的东西，人的本能的东西。
So he also thinks that it is kind of like an instinct to look for something that is nature, because he gave an example that every people is just looking for a break and we go into the central balcony to look for like an open breath, like a deep breath of the earth. So that is something we are always looking for as human beings, so we want to keep that in our work too.
Yeah, and what have been some of the reactions to your piece here so far here in Venice?
观众的反应，你可以举一些例子。
有的看哭了，有的看哭了，然后有的就是很感动。我觉得是还是触动到了很多很多人的心里边。但我不知道具体触动到了他们自己内心的什么故事。但是我看到了有的人哭了。
Some audience was actually crying after experiencing our work, and that means that there's a part that deeply resonates with them. And some people go out with a heavy feeling about the emotions, and some audience even think a part is too heavy for them to experience or like they cannot bear with the sensitivity or the strong emotions in the virtual reality. And I think it's kind of interesting to see a mix of reactions. And we also asked a few audiences, and they were saying like, they're not sure what this feeling is, but they can feel how strong the emotion is through our story.
What has it been like to have a vision of what you wanted to do, but to not have it fully communicated until you could experience it after you've already completed it?
就是你对于你之前想表达的一直没有能被理解是怎么想的，就是他可能在说大家就相当于 Michelle 就是这种感觉。
这问题也特别好，其实就像我们这个智情一样，就我们智情一样，智情如果它跌落到了人世间，跌落到了我们这个空间里面，它就实了。但是有些东西它一旦实，它是说不出来的，因为它永远在不断的变化当中，就它不断的变化当中，所以我没有办法去阐述一个伟大的或者说是一种不可名状的这个东西，就好像是如来一样 the truth come one or something。 我觉得那个金刚经里面那个东西，对，是这样。
So he thinks that it's kind of hard to communicate a feeling which is also strong for him as well. And it is almost overwhelming that this philosophy is so hard to communicate every details. And if we do that, that might not be the real thing we are communicating. So it is natural and it's acceptable during the process. And he is actually slowly figuring out that he likes the moment that people are actually experiencing it and get the feeling he wanted to express.
Great. And so what's next for you in this project?
接下来
可能我会先休息一下，第一课会休息一下，第二我会继续在打破虚幻和现实的这样的一条路上，我会继续去探索。
He will be taking a short rest, and then he will be moving on into the journey of exploring whether there are works that express the boundary between reality and virtuality. So he will be still on this track and on his journey to search for that.
会继续做一些让观众放松的精神马杀鸡，是吗？
So he said he wanted his work to be like spiritual massage for every audience, and he will be continue exploring that.
Great. And what do you think the ultimate potential of the medium of virtual reality and mixed with theater, what the ultimate potential of that might be and what it might be able to enable?
就是 VR 它的就是最终的潜力你看在哪里，以及你是做 VR 和戏剧的结合，你对于这种媒介的未来你是怎么看的，就是它最后的一个最核心的潜力还没有被发掘的。
I need to think about it. So it's a big question. 我认为之后的孩子会生活在无限的虚拟与数据、虚拟数据营造出来的数字矩阵当中。那么，可能将来孩子对于真实，比如说气味，比如说自然的东西。这些东西会变得很贵，他们可能会没有办法去体验到，而是永远生活在廉价的数据的包裹当中。那么说，只要是 VR 这个眼镜，它足够便宜、足够轻便、足够植入到你的生活当中，那么接下来很可怕的一件事就是，大家已经完全分不清什么是虚拟，什么是现实，什么是自己的思考，那么什么是别人给你的那种意识形态的东西。所以我说 VR 是一个很强烈的意识形态的植入，包括精神攻击的一个介质。所以我认为自然很重要，回归到人也很重要，回归到整个的环境当中也很重要。不要忘记我们其实确实是在某个环境当中。对对对，
So in the future, we actually see VR as a medium that is like highly boosting technology. Everything is becoming maybe cheap or accessible to people. But meanwhile, like at the same time, nature or the true feelings about people, connections, relationships will be more and more precious. So we want to make sure that our future works about VR and theater pieces will be centering on the core idea of people and their connection with nature and their connection with each other. We don't want to get away from this true feeling within the mediums, and we don't want to live in a fully digital matrix.
Right. And any final thoughts you'd like to share with the broader immersive community?
所以就是有没有 final thoughts, 就是有没有最后的一点想要跟他分享呢?
我认为还是这样说，我认为人生是无常的，虽然是人生第一是无常的，我们也许生活在一个被虚拟包裹着的地方，因为现在其实我们有很多的信息能够接入到你们，但是以后VR的诞生，它会把整个信息数据集中在一个地方，然后让你接受，那么。 在未来这样的虚拟现实都没有办法界定的情况之下，我觉得还是要回归到内心，到去感受一下自己真正的能量，真正的一种感受，它与天与地之间的一种最原始、最根本的一种感受，可能那个时候会更自由一些，那个时候的自由可能就是这样的。
So he was thinking of how to bring people back to the most intimate relationship with the world, and also to see how we can figure out the relationship with the technology. Because after maybe decades, the VR is a thing that can centralize all the information or the digital world around you within this little headset, and you're actually living in like a digital bubble, and we want to break that bubble and make sure all the people are listening to themselves while navigating through technology, and maybe also bring the kind of ever-changing aspect experience to the way we communicate with technology, the way we develop, and the way we experience our life.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast. I felt like I was in a dream, waking up from a dream, and having a real strong, visceral feeling around the piece, and just the ways that it went in directions I wasn't expecting, and all the sensory components all tied together, and hearing you explain a lot more around your intent and design of the piece as well. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the audience. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this Venice Immersive 2025 coverage, and hopefully you found some use in some of this documentation of these experiences that are very ephemeral. And some of these show at these festivals, and they don't really go out widely beyond this a lot of times. I mean, maybe they are, but you may not be in a place that it's easy for you to see them. And so it's a real privilege to be able to see all these experiences, but also to be able to sit down with these creators and have a really deep, in-depth conversation in a way that there are not a lot of other opportunities to really dig into at this level. And so I really appreciate all the time from all the creators to be able to have these conversations, but also for you to take the time to listen to them. And also, it's been a challenge of trying to find a way of speaking about these experiences in an abstract, theoretical way, or at least in a way that I can ground it and allow you to put yourself into the experiences to kind of imagine some of these different things that they're doing, how I'm experiencing it, but also the different types of design decisions that the creator is making. So if you find this useful and want to support this type of effort of both documenting the history of immersive storytelling, but also to support this kind of wildly ambitious independent journalism project that is very much driven by support by listeners like yourself. So please do consider becoming a member of the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.